T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. We are taking a running tally of your votes on the text line right now at 71307. Evidently, something that I thought was not really debatable is, in fact, debatable. I don't see how anyone can say that Clemson does not have the right to host the next Palmetto Bowl whenever it's played, because they're not going to get to do it this year. So the question is, what should happen, right? What should happen? Lonzo says, no, this is their year. Sucks to be them. Goes back to South Carolina next year. And we've been pretty split on the opinions that have been coming in so far, so we do want to hear from you. I ask that you take off your party colors, if at all possible, just to answer this question. Because right along party lines, the Gamecock fans are saying, nope, we get the game. It's our game. Next year, they had their shot. No game this year. Goes back to us.
Hey, Mark.
And Clemson fans are saying, we don't really care where we play them. They pulled this crap in 1962, and we'll wax their asses wherever we are.
Why should you take off your party hat? You're not actually going to get to play a game this year. This might be the only fun that they're going to have. So I don't know why. I don't know why you want them to take the hat off.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know either. You guys break the tie for us here, because this is a debate that I thought was so cut and dry. It was like the sky is blue, the grass is green, water's wet. And yet here we are debating something that I thought made perfect sense. I don't get it. All right, folks, it's time for the top five at five, the top five topics we are talking about, the top five biggest sports topics of the day. The top five at five starts right now.
It's a law. Show me this damn law that you keep making up that doesn't really exist.
Hit it! Ay, 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 ladies and gentlemen, baseball is in big trouble. Baseball is in big trouble. The Brewers and Cardinals game has been postponed tonight due to positive tests. Two pitchers on the St. Louis Cardinals have tested positive. This means that the Nationals, Marlins, Blue Jays, Phillies, Brewers, and Cardinals games are all postponed due to COVID-19 tonight. Folks, that's 20% of the league is suspended because of COVID-19. A real line of demarcation is forming here, is it not? Those sports that are able to bubble are working. Those sports that have not, baseball could have bubbled. They could have bubbled. They're not doing it. Those sports that elected not to bubble are not going so well. College football, are you watching this? Are you observing this? What in God's green earth do you think is going to happen when you put 40,000 students on campus with a football team? What do you think is going to happen? You see, the Dabo Sweeneys and the Will Muschamps of the world better be thinking right now how they can bubble their football program, or there's not going to be a college football season, everybody. I don't know how there could be. I want to find the solutions. You guys help me find the solutions. I think either you can't have students on campus, or if you have students on campus, you have to have the football team stay and sleep and live inside the football facility and have their courses inside the football facility. If players are commingling with 40,000 students on campus, there is no way that this season is going to be played. As for baseball, they've got major issues on their hands. How are they going to proceed here? What are they going to do? Next up. You know, it is interesting. We open today with me going nuts on the New Orleans Pelicans for not playing Zion Williamson more than 15 minutes in a game they lost by 2 points. Folks, the NBA is a 48-minute game, right? A 48-minute game. Why is Zion Williamson not playing exactly? I always have been a subscriber of the feeling that you shoot your shot, right? I have done that with women my whole life, and I have probably been rejected more than any man in the history of mankind but you know what I'm damn sure not going to do? I'm not going to not ask. I've always asked. Ask for the number, ask for the date, because I didn't ask one time when I was younger, and it just ate at me because it was always the what if. You know, you met a girl at the bar. She was great. She slipped away with her friends, probably because she's trying to get away from me. You didn't ask for her number. You missed out on the opportunity. Always shoot your shot. The New Orleans Pelicans aren't shooting their shot right now with Zion Williamson, man. I mean, the NBA constructed a bogus playoff plan that required six additional teams come to Orlando just to give the Pelicans a chance to make it into the playoffs. They've never done it before. Is it fair? Absolutely not. And then the very reason why they made this plan, he's not playing in the game. The Pelicans will tell you Zion wasn't here for a few weeks. He went to home to South Carolina for a medical emergency. So what? He's in great shape. Let's hear from David Griffin, CEO of Basketball Operations with the New Orleans Pelicans. David, you've got some splaining to do.
About the fact that he did play more, and I wanted to try to make this make sense to everyone. So what happened when we got here was our performance team had a very clear plan laid out for every member of the team, and every member of the team got to go through that plan, and that plan included scrimmage minutes that many of the team got to play. Many of our players were held to 15 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever, not because there's a fixed minute number, but because there was a fixed approach to how they were going to play the game. So everybody got to do that during the course of the scrimmages. Zion didn't get that opportunity. And unfortunately, because of the situation with his family, he was called away. And it was a very legitimate reason to leave. But unfortunately, he's 13 days removed from the group in terms of following that plan after not playing basketball for what amounts to 4 months. So I appreciate the fact that everybody wants him to play 40 minutes tomorrow night. I can promise you he's not going to. No mistakes were made yesterday relative to how this was handled, other than by me, by not coming forward and just expressing this in the clearest way possible. This isn't complicated. There's no media here next to me, so I'm going to pull this down because it's causing me a problem. It's not complicated. So again, he will not play significant minutes in the next game, and he may not in the following game, quite frankly. This is all about the ramp-up time. And he didn't get the benefit of any of the things that his teammates got for those 13 days. So, again, this is going to take some time, and I think it's going to take time for him. He mentioned his flow and rhythm. It's going to take time for him to find that. So, again, I just wanted to address that specific issue right off the bat. If you have other specific questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
We did not do anything wrong in terms of the minutes that we played Zion Williamson. After you've heard that explanation, Lonzo, true or false, the Pelicans did nothing wrong?
Oh, they absolutely did something wrong. You know, if you have a minutes restriction, that's fine. You can decide, you know what, he can only play 5 minutes in this quarter. Let's put him in the last 5 minutes of the quarter. That's what you can do.
Now, but the minutes restriction of 15 minutes for a guy who has no injury is insane. And this whole, like, he had 13 days without being with his teammates. The guy scored 13 points in 15 minutes. I mean, like, what is wrong with you guys? What? He's not going to play significant minutes the next game. He's not going to play significant minutes the game after that. Adam Silver's got to be saying, like, dude, do you realize we did this for you, right? Like, we contrived a Ponzi scheme to get you guys into the playoffs, and you're not falling in line. My buddy Aaron Torres of Fox Sports Radio said the following. Smart move by the Pelicans to rest Zion down the stretch after 4 months off. That'll prepare him well for four more months of rest when the Pelicans miss the playoffs because of it. You play eight games. You have eight games left, you morons. Okay? If not now, if you're not going to take the leash off now, when? Jiminy Christmas sakes alive, I can't handle this, man. Next up, South Carolina is going to, you ready to get excited, South Carolina fans? Here we go. South Carolina will host Old Dominion on August 31st, 2024. The school announced on Friday. The Gamecocks will pay the Monarchs, ready for this, $1.5 million. The largest game check Old Dominion University has agreed to cash during its program's history. I don't think it was a very difficult decision to get them to agree to cash that. Do you not? What does this do for South Carolina? It gives South Carolina, I love these kinds of opponents, right? Because it gives you an FBS opponent, and it gives you a sure win. I'm a big fan of scheduling the Akrons of the world, right? The San Jose States of the world, because they're never going to beat you, and they give you the FBS win that counts towards bowl eligibility. Now, you got to be selective with it. South Carolina has Clemson on the schedule every year. I think for the Gamecocks, if you have one other respectable opponent, right? Keyword is respectable. What would quantify as a respectable opponent? Kansas State, right? So you have Clemson, you have Kansas State, and then you have two Old Dominions. Perfect. Perfect non-conference schedule. And this is part of it. This is part of building wins and building a program, and I get it, and I'm never going to slander the Gamecocks for doing that. Next up, number two today. Oh, boy. This November, Michigan may not lose to Ohio State, the headline says. If the Big Ten plays football this year, reportedly the league is still considering pulling the plug. The biggest rivalry in the conference, if not the country, may happen a lot earlier than usual, says College Football Talk. The Columbus Dispatch reports that the game could be scheduled for September or October as a hedge against the pandemic, preventing the game from being played in late November as it usually is. So in other words, what's the most important game of the season? Ohio State, Michigan, right? I throw Lonzo a bone by saying the name Ohio State before Michigan. But you need to ensure that that game happens. You can ensure, or as close as you can to ensure that that game happens, if you play it in September or October, as opposed to late November, when we don't know what kind of situation we're going to be in at that time. And we don't know what kind of situation we're going to be in at that time, because that is going to be the convergence of flu season and COVID season. Folks, I'll tell you something personal. A week ago today, right around this time, I said to Lonzo on the mic in a commercial break, I said, Lonzo, I'm not feeling right, man. I feel totally run down right now. Just I'm not feeling good. And I said, Lonzo, where did you get tested for COVID? And he let me know. Saturday, I woke up with body aches. Saturday evening, I had a fever. And then Sunday, it went into like sore throat and like sinus pain and sinus pressure and all that stuff. And I had to go through 48 hours, basically, where I thought that I was like, well, what else could this be? Went and got tested, got my results yesterday. I'm negative, thank God. And my doctor told me there's another virus going around right now. So, I mean, it feels like the cruelest thing in the world that you would get hit with something else while COVID is going on, because all you're thinking is, oh, God, here we go. Here we go. Buckle up. Brace yourself, Betsy. Hold on to your butts. That's all you're thinking. And we're going to be in that same predicament, unfortunately, in October and November when flu season collides with COVID season. And it's, I think, unfortunately, many of us are going to be like, well, which one do I have right now? I got something. Which one do I have? That happened to me the last 4 or 5 days. I don't wish that level of I don't know. I don't wish that situation on anybody, really, if I'm honest with you. And finally, at number one today, guys, you know, there is this rumor right now out there that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have not yet decided on whether they're playing a college football season. There is a rumor that one or both may not play in the fall. So I have this question for you, and I'd love your thoughts. I'd love your answer. If you do not have the Group of Five playing, right? So if you don't have the Boise States of the world, the UCFs of the world, if they're not playing, but the Power Five is, do you have a legitimate national champion? If the Pac-12 doesn't play, do you have a legitimate national champion? If the Big Ten doesn't play, do you have a legitimate national champion? We don't have commitments from the Big 12, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 at this moment, right? But the Big 12 is all but a certainty to play this year, and all but a certainty to play moving forward. So what would make a national championship this year? What would make it legitimate or illegitimate? And by the way, I stand corrected. Just in the last few minutes here, the Pac-12 has approved a 10-game conference-only fall schedule for football. Okay, just in the last few minutes here. All right, so now 10-game conference-only schedule for football. Nobody else but conference opponents for the Pac-12. So now the Pac-12 is committed. It will begin on September 26th, just like the SEC. Conference championship game will be played on December 18th or December 19th. So 3 out of 5 conferences are now in. If the Big Ten is out, do you have a legitimate national champion? If the Group of Five is out, do you have a legitimate national champion? I say you have a legitimate national champion if you don't have the Group of Five. I say you have an illegitimate champion if the Big Ten doesn't play. Gotta massage Alonzo's ego every once in a while. And I think you have a legitimate national champion had the Pac-12 not decided to play. Why? Folks, the Pac-12 has won one national championship in the last 28 years. All right? One. And you can tell me, well, Mark, Oregon's a top 10 team this year. USC is a top 20 team this year. They've won one national title in the last 28 years. All right? USC in 2004. Prior to that, Washington in 1991. So, yeah, you have a legitimate national champion if the Pac-12 hadn't played. But as of the announcement from the last few minutes, the Pac-12 is in. 10-game conference-only schedule. This is going to be weird, man. How are you going to determine schedule strength when these conferences are playing no one but one another? That's going to be so odd. Are we just judging based on what things have been in the past? That doesn't seem right. You know, who's to say the ACC isn't the best conference this year? Crazy. Those are today's top 5 at 5. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. Twitter is there for you as well, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C, Ryan on Air. And finally, email, where Lonzo, I need you to get the the flag ready, because a listener wants to throw a flag on us here. And you can get to us via email, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. Throw the flag. Evidently, Lonzo, earlier in the show, I called basketball quarters innings. Can you confirm this, Lonzo? Did you hear me making that mistake?
That would have required me paying close attention, and obviously I did not. So, no, I don't know.
There you go.
If I had heard that, the flag would have already been thrown.
There you go. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Question for you guys. Do you have a legitimate national champion if the group of five is not a part of this? Do you have a legitimate national champion if the Pac-12, which now has a plan to play, if they back out? Do you have a legitimate national champion if the Big Ten backs out? I don't think the ACC and the SEC are going to back out. Why? Because they play in the parts of America that are currently the hardest hit by the virus, and they were the first ones to have their schedule out despite that fact, right? So it is what it is. It is what it is. What do you think? I mean, if you don't have UCF, if you don't have Boise State, do you have a legitimate national champion? Lonzo, what say you?
I'm not sure there's going to be a national championship game, because they have you heard anyone say that there's actually going
to
be those games?
How do you crown a national champion?
Maybe you don't crown one this year because conferences are playing at different times. I want to see if football actually happens. I'm not sure there's going to be one. I hate being negative. But if there is one, yes, if they actually have the bowl championship series and they have those three games, then, yeah, it's legitimate, and, yeah, they can do it.
This is the first time, Lonzo, I haven't even previously considered that they would even consider that. But I suppose you're right. I suppose that could happen. Here's why
You know what happens? Suddenly they go, you know, the BCS wasn't so bad, and they used the BCS to pick the national championship.
And then you just play one game.
No, zero games.
Oh, well, the BCS put one and two together, right?
Eventually, I think for a while the computers pretty much picked who the national champion was.
So, I mean, look, as I look at this situation and as I evaluate this situation, I do believe that if we played, I think there's a good chance we'll have a playoff, because in January, when we would be having that, things should be better than they are now. And that's why I think we'll have that. All right, coming up next. If you consider the plight of Coach Boom, exactly how many games does he need to win this year to keep his job? How many games for Will Muschamp does he have to win to keep his job? I would love to hear your thoughts on that next. Here on Offsides, we are ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, it's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. So if you are a Gamecock fan, I'd like to hear from you. What does Will Muschamp have to do in 2020 to keep his job? Now you know that none of the Patsies are on the schedule anymore. There is no Coastal Carolina. There is no East Carolina. There is no Wofford. And there is no Clemson, right? None of those teams are on the schedule anymore, right? And Clemson certainly is the polar opposite of a cupcake team. But Coastal Carolina, East Carolina, and Wofford were supposed to be wins, right? Just like last year, Appalachian State was supposed to be a win. The alma mater of Diesel, of the Rob Brown Show.
Yeah, I think you said it right the first time. It's Appalachian.
I think that's definitely not.
You should
it's
do
the Appalachian.
No, you should do it that way
trail.
Every single time, just to go at Diesel.
It is the Appalachian Trail, and I am not going to allow you to spew that nonsense in my direction, Lonzo, in any way, shape, or form. So anyway, look, the Gamecocks are going to play a 10-game season, right, in the Southeastern Conference. They're going to play a 10-game season, and this is going to be absolutely positively fascinating. And so you have games against Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt, and then you have to play four out of the seven in the SEC West. Now, I know that one of the two from the West that South Carolina was set to play was LSU. Lonzo, who was the other team? I think it was Texas A&M out of the West, right? Texas A&M was the other team out of the West that the Gamecocks were going to play. If you keep those two opponents, which we don't know conclusively yet if that's going to happen, but if you keep those two opponents, who you're considering what of the other five teams are you going to play? So South Carolina would have Georgia and Florida on the schedule. They'd have LSU and Texas A&M hypothetically on the schedule. And then you need two more opponents out of these five teams: Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. Given the fact that South Carolina already plays Florida, Georgia, and LSU, as well as Texas A&M, I'm going to give the Gamecocks the two Mississippi schools. And I'm going to say they get Ole Miss, and I'm going to say they get Mississippi State. Now, I want to share with you some insight knowledge that I had, that I received this morning. Because I was calling around to different colleagues. I spoke to a buddy of mine at Sports Illustrated. I spoke to a buddy of mine at Fox in L.A. I spoke to three different contacts that I have within and around the SEC and the SEC offices. And here is what I was told this morning, okay? Right now, the thinking inside SEC offices is that they're going to go against, they're not going to go with the next rotation of opponents. Here's what I mean by that, right? Each, as you guys know, the other division in the SEC, for South Carolina, the West Division, you rotate the opponents that you play, right? Florida has one set opponent from the West, LSU, and then they rotate the other ones, right? The thinking is that the SEC is not just going to go with the West opponents that South Carolina would have had the next 2 years, because doing so would create an unfair schedule for some teams. For example, if Florida had to do that, Florida would have on the schedule this year Georgia, LSU, and Alabama. Georgia, LSU, and Alabama, and also Texas A&M would all be on the schedule for the Gators this year. So the SEC right now is not looking at the normal rotations. They're looking at creating equitable 10-game schedules for each and every one of these teams. It's not even known at this point if the games that you had already scheduled are still active. We can assume that all SEC East teams are still going to play all the teams in the SEC East. The SEC is still going to have two divisions, unlike the ACC, which is going to one division right now, right? But what we don't know what is going to happen with the West opponents. So I'm going to say, just hypothetically speaking, looking at the schedule here, considering that the Gamecocks play Florida, Georgia, LSU, and Texas A&M, we're already on the schedule to begin with. If that stays the case, I'll say Ole Miss and Mississippi State are on the schedule. So, Lonzo, how many games does Will Muschamp have to win this year to keep his job? How many games does he have to win? You have 10 SEC games. Why don't you and I go through these here, okay? Florida, I say, is a loss.
I want to say it's a victory just because of you, but I can't. I'm going to say it's a loss.
Georgia, I'm going to say, is a loss.
People said that last year, but I'm going to go with a loss.
Texas A&M at home, I'm going to say, is a win for the Gamecocks.
Well, home field advantage doesn't really mean a whole lot anymore if there's no fans there, but I'm going to say it's a win.
LSU on the road, I'm going to say it's a loss.
We have no idea who's the quarterback for LSU. I don't know, but you're right, loss.
Ole Miss at home, I'm going to say it's a win for the Gamecocks.
I also will say a win.
Mississippi State on the road.
I'm going to go win.
I'm going to go loss. All right, so I'm going to go loss, and Lonzo says win. So Mark and Lonzo here, we have our first difference. Tennessee Volunteers, that's a home game. I'm going to say the Gamecocks win.
Me too.
Tennessee.
But, you know, next year it'll be a totally different story.
Kentucky on the road, I'm going to see the Gamecocks lose.
I'm going to give them a win over Kentucky.
Okay. You're not going to like where this is going for you.
Missouri, yeah, I'm not. I already don't like it.
Missouri, I don't remember. This will be a home game for the Gamecocks. I'm going to say they win.
Do you really think home field means anything, though, without the crowd?
Well, you have travel. You're not sleeping in your same bed.
That's true.
All that stuff, right?
That's true. I'm going to go with a win for the
Win
Gamecocks.
For Missouri. And then the last one would be Vanderbilt. And I'm going to say a win.
Dag on it. I'm going to say a win, too.
So, Lonzo, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have South Carolina going 7-3 in this proposed SEC schedule.
Yeah, but it's your proposed schedule. They very well could be playing Alabama and Auburn, and that changes the entire thing.
I have South Carolina going 5-5 in the proposed schedule. I have South Carolina getting a win over Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. And folks, that's my answer. I think if the Gamecocks go 5-5, Muschamp keeps his job. What do you guys think? What does Muschamp have to do to keep his job? A texter says, let's see here. This season, all conference schedules make a compelling argument for expanding the playoffs beyond four teams. With no intra-conference play, how can you know the difference between all these teams? That's completely right. Even if all conferences are – another texter says, even if conferences are playing their own, how are there going to be playoffs in a national championship? Yeah, this would seem to be the year where you pick conference champions, right? If they're going to play each other, then why not have a regular scheduled season? Well, because now you have 10 games, and how do you make that equitable? For example, texter, Florida and South Carolina, for example. What if I said, Florida, you're playing Alabama, and South Carolina, you're playing Arkansas, and we just made this randomly? How is that fair, right?
I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah, you're okay? You're good? Texter says, they're going to schedule Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Kentucky, the easy SEC teams. Yeah, well, it's not South Carolina's choice, Texter. It's not South Carolina's choice at all. This is all going to be done out of the SEC offices, but I am told that they are not going to do the rotation. The rotation, again, would have seen Florida play Alabama and Texas A&M, which would have been brutal, added on to their current schedule, and would have seen South Carolina play Auburn and Arkansas, which you have a game there against Auburn that's a probable loss, and a game against Arkansas that's a probable win, right? Texter says, do Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach get a free pass this season, regardless of the season results? Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
I think so. Yeah. I
Unfortunately,
think
so will Will Muschamp.
A pass this year, no matter what?
Yes.
No matter what?
Because of COVID.
You
would
have
get a
them
pass.
Going 7-3.
Yeah, I know. Well, which means he'll definitely still be there.
You have a Will Muschamp coach team winning 7 out of 10 SEC games. Ladies and gentlemen, waiter, I'll have one of what he's having, please. Please.
But again, we're going on your proposed schedule, which gives them the Mississippi teams. We don't know that they'll get those. They may very well get Alabama and Auburn. I wonder, will they look at travel as far as the schedule goes?
No, I don't think so. I think it's all gonna be like strength of schedule ratings and like what I was told, Lonzo, is they are coming up with their own methodology, right? They're coming up with their own grading system of schedule difficulty, right? Schedule strength, and they want everybody to be relatively equal on that. So with Florida already having Georgia and LSU on there, with South Carolina already having Georgia, Florida, and LSU on there, you set yourself up to be in a little bit better spot. Weird, man. This is going to be crazy. What record do you, if you're a Gamecock fan, what record do you need from Will Muschamp this year to justify him keeping his job? Lonzo says they're 7-3. I say they're 5-5. And I think both of those sees Will Muschamp brought back for another season. All right, coming up next, we flip the script and we have some fun with you right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, so Michael Stathakis was going to have to apologize at the end of the 2020 season if Muschamp failed to win 7 games. Remember that, Lonzo, when we did that? And he was arguing that he deserved another year. And I said, okay, well, we got to set the parameters here. What win total are you wrong? So he is now asking if he can renegotiate his apology quota. So if Muschamp fails to do what? He has to apologize to the Upstate for being wrong. He wants to renegotiate his apology quota from 7 wins to 6. Lonzo, I think that's a fair request. What say you?
Absolutely. I think it, and good of you for even considering it, because you could have been steadfast and said absolutely not. But, yeah, I think that's it's just one game, and they're losing, what, 2 games? So, yeah.
They're losing 3 winnable games, Coastal Carolina, Wofford, and East Carolina, and they're adding 2 SEC opponents. So yeah, I think that's fair. If you said 5, Michael, I would probably said no there, but 6, I will. I'm the jury of Offsides. Mark Ryan and Lonzo Reitzel has conferred, and we will permit that for your apology. Sounds good, right? Sounds good. Mark, I know this might be unrealistic, a texter says, but I feel like this would be the best year to test an 8-game playoff. Other sports are trying new things with schedules and playoffs. Why not college football? Thoughts? I do agree that this would be a great year to experiment. I just firmly believe that less is more for the college football playoff. You're screwing with what makes college football great if you expand the playoff, and that is the beauty of the regular season. Every game feels like a playoff game, man. That's why you watch Clemson play North Carolina when they sucked at the beginning of the year last year, or that's why you watch Clemson play Akron. Because if you turn on the TV in the third quarter and you're losing, you realize that the whole season is on the line. All right, Lonzo, let's hit the music here for something fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you might remember this. We were doing this last week, and then I got sick, right? I got a virus. Hadn't gotten anything like that in like 6 months. But we were doing March Mayhem, right? And we call it March Mayhem, and we have 4 different brackets. We have the Never Missed a Meal region. We have the Shredded region. We have the Slender and Speedy region. And we have the Jailbirds region. Somewhat self-explanatory, right? So to this matchup today is out of the Jailbirds region, and we need you to text in your votes. Very simple question. Who wins in a fight between the 2 seed, Ben Bulware, and the 3 seed, Steven Garcia? Who wins in a fight, ladies and gentlemen? And for bonus points, tell me why. 71307 on the text line. Who wins in a fight, Ben Bulware or Steven Garcia, out of the Jailbirds region? This is also up for your voting right now on ESPN Upstate. All right? Who wins in a fight? Ben Bulware is out to an early lead over Steven Garcia in the early going.
Man, this is really hard, because I think you got to look at both of them. They would both fight dirty. What is the level of redneck? It's very high in both of them. So there probably would be, if there was a possibility to sneak something in, like some brass knucks or something, they both would do that. This is really, really, this is the most difficult matchup in the entire thing.
All right, so wait. You and I will give our official picks on the flip side of this, but I want to open it up to all of our audience right now to send us your votes at 71307 on the text line. Also, we'll take your votes on the Twitterverse. The Twitter poll is up as well. We're going to be tabulating all of them. And in the March Mayhem bracket, Jailbirds region, right? These are all cats that have run afoul of the law, that have been in a little bit of trouble here or there. Ben Bolwer had a DUI. What did Steven Garcia do, Lonzo?
Several things, including keying a car and some things like that. So
keying a car, yeah, Steven Garcia.
There was
some
drunkenness in there also.
Who wins in a fight if they're both sloshed? Who wins in a fight, ladies and gentlemen, Ben Bolwer or Steven Garcia in our March Mayhem region? Text us your votes at 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. And Lonzo and I will give you our winners next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, the text and votes are streaming in. Texter says Ben Bolwer wins. Another texter says Garcia wins. He'd definitely be hammered, and Ben would just keep trying. Ben would just keep trying to stick his finger in Steven's butt, just saying. Lonzo, is there some kind of story there I missed not being here?
Yeah.
What happened here?
And you've heard this before. You've just forgotten about it. And I don't blame you for putting this out of your mind. While in piles, Ben Bolwer and a couple other Clemson guys would stick their fingers up. So here's the thing. You know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you mine. I was going to pick Ben
Bolwer.
Has
that ever happened to you in the pile?
A lot of things have happened in the pile. I don't want to talk about it.
Did that happen to you in the pile?
No, but the next thing that I was going to say did. Okay, so if Ben Bolwer, in the middle of the fight, decides to check Steven Garcia's oil, or...
I'm shocked you know what that is.
Or check his package, then, you know, something goes off in a guy's psyche when someone does that to you, if you didn't ask for it, and he will just go psycho. So I'm going with Garcia because Bolwer is not smart enough to know you shouldn't do that to another dude. When you do that, you're going to cause someone. And I think Garcia, he's a better fighter when he's mad. So I think Garcia wins it.
I hate agreeing with Lonzo, and Ben Bolwer is a bigger guy. Like, UFC would say that this is a class mismatch because Bolwer would be in the heavyweight campaign. And I think maybe Garcia would be the light heavyweight division. But crazy wins, ladies and gentlemen. Crazy wins. Both of these guys a little bit off their rocker, but no one as much as Steven Garcia, who I really love, by the way. And I want to let you guys know, those of you who are in the Jailbirds region, okay, that we do this we do this out of love. The Jailbirds region is one seed is Derek Watson, 2 seed Ben Bolwer, 3 seed Steven Garcia, and 4 seed Sammy Watkins. Lonzo told me evidently Sammy Watkins, now a Saint with the Kansas City Chiefs, was formerly in trouble at Clemson University.
If I recall, he was riding dirty, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, he was riding dirty. On Twitter, Willie, Slick Willie says, I'm a Clemson fan and it wouldn't be close. Steven Garcia would pee on Ben and then key the hell out of him. The Oculus says, I say Ben Bolwer. I think both these guys can hold their own. I think Ben probably holds himself together a little better when things go wrong. Team Ben. We need your votes, ladies and gentlemen. Text us. Very simple question. Who wins in a fight on March Mayhem today? The matchup is Ben Bolwer or Steven Garcia. Text us your winner at 71307 and start your text with the word ESPN right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.